Welcome to Betrayal Trauma Recovery. I'm Anon. Happy New Year, everyone. For those of you doing 12-step scripture study with us, I hope you visited our supply page at btr.org/supplies to download your color code bookmark and to order your gel pens. I'm so excited. It's my theory that if every single woman in the world is in recovery and truly connected with God, that the lies and the damage of pornography addiction and abuse would stop. That's my theory. Thanks to those of you who have rated the podcast. Each rating helps us rank higher in search engine queries and helps other women find us. And also, I'm so happy for those of you who have decided to schedule coaching appointments with our amazing coaches. When I talk to people about betrayal trauma, a lot of times they don't know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I get some strange looks, and many people just, they don't understand it. So today I want to talk about what betrayal trauma is, and to do that I just have to share my experience with you. Women who have been betrayed by their husband feel emotionally isolated and doubt their own personal worth. And in fact, many suffer from symptoms similar to post-traumatic stress disorder, otherwise known as PTSD. This is called betrayal trauma. It's extremely intense and you kind of feel like you're going crazy. You have triggers all over the place. Often women suffering from betrayal trauma take extreme measures to outwardly appear perfectly in control. I think especially in our social media age, women are doing this on social media. Their social media profile looks really good. Everybody thinks, oh, her home is beautiful and she wears cute clothes and she seems put together. Frequently, women who are suffering from betrayal trauma on the inside feel out of control, crazy, and unloved. In my case, I started speaking out in public to avoid the mess that was happening in my home, thinking that I was solving the mess that was happening in my home, but in reality, it was only getting more chaotic. A pornography and sexual addict is self-absorbed and has little or no emotional connection with others. That's how my ex-husband is. Living with him brought feelings of confusion and fear into my life, and I didn't feel emotionally isolated so much. Many women do feel that, but I did feel emotionally numb, and I was constantly like hustling, you know, for a feeling of fulfillment. In my case, it took the form of remodeling my house and gardening and publicly speaking out about pornography and becoming involved in the anti-pornography movement. I started doing this compulsively and more intensely, constantly trying to fix things, fix, and my betrayal trauma symptoms started getting worse. So apart from my obsessiveness about my house and changing the world, everything else started to slide. My betrayal trauma symptoms eventually reached the point where I didn't really want to do anything. I had always been interested in nature and outdoor activities, but I stopped working out or taking care of myself physically. I didn't really want to go out with friends. I didn't want to go to parties or do activities. And to others, my home seemed clean and organized, and I seemed to be on top of everything. But inside, I often felt totally unloved and confused about what was happening, unsafe in my own home, even though I barely admitted it to myself. I sensed something was wrong in my marriage right from the very beginning. For the first 18 months, when I questioned my ex-husband about his rage and abuse, he lied to me. And then after the 18 months, he supposedly started working recovery for his pornography addiction, but his abusive behaviors never stopped. And when I questioned him about pornography during the quote-unquote recovery years, I was told that everything is okay in spite of the fact that there was still consistent anger and resentment toward me. During those 5 years, I felt pacified and I continued speaking about pornography addiction and my experience appearing quote-unquote in control, setting up my ex-husband to seem like he was the ideal husband in recovery. In fact, he even spoke a few times about his so-called recovery. But then his behaviors escalated rapidly to the point where I knew that I had to set boundaries. It was getting too out of control. It was chaos. I thought, he's ruining my life and our family. I'm afraid. I'm worried. I was scared to death. And I also wondered if I was going crazy. Betrayal trauma for me is the most acute when I have my addicted ex-husband in my center rather than God. A pornography addict is unstable and unable to follow through, and in my ex-husband's case, he was abusive and angry. Having a person like that in my center created chaos in my life. He always wanted to move, do something different, So we moved 6 times in 5 years. And the threat of him swearing or physically intimidating me through punching walls or screaming in my face was ever constant. Several times he suddenly threatened to kill himself in front of our children. I was constantly trying to create stability on a foundation of quicksand, ever building but never getting anywhere. Then there were these amazing times, times when he was peaceful and emotionally connected, times that I trusted him and felt safe. And I chose to believe that those times were the reality of my marriage, and that the chaos and the abuse was just a fluke. I didn't see the reality of my situation because I wanted desperately to save my family. As my ex-husband's resentment toward me grew and grew, eventually he lashed out and attacked me physically, and he was arrested for domestic violence. My trauma at that point was so intense because I was starting to realize the truth. And I just kept thinking back about all the things he'd said about how he knew other men who had abandoned their families and couldn't pull it together to repair their relationship, and how he would never be like that. And here he was doing that thing, that same thing, abandoning his family, not doing anything to repair the relationship. And I realized that all of the things he had talked about before were just talk, that he was not capable of doing those things. And even as I watched very carefully for clear signs of him attempting to repair, I saw nothing. On my path of healing and recovery, I've embraced these truths. I'm not the cause of my ex-husband's addiction, and I can't change or fix him. He is making his own decisions of his own free will, and I have been deeply injured by the deceit and the disrespect and the anger in my marriage. It's only with God's help that I can truly heal and thrive. Staying on this path of healing and recovery is really important for me. It's also very difficult. I work with a qualified therapist, and I work the 12 steps with a sponsor. I'm slowly coming out of having my ex-husband in my center. He was at my center. I wanted to do everything to help him and save my family. He was at my center for so long that it's difficult to turn that around. When he lived with us, I thought I didn't need to recover. I actually thought I was in recovery, but I didn't really understand what recovery was. I thought recovery was sort of going to groups and talking about it and reading a book and maybe going to a therapist every once in a while. But I didn't realize that there are actual actionable steps and things that you can do to be in recovery every day. So back then I just thought if he would just stop and get better, everything will be okay. But it's not that simple because I was in trauma and I couldn't see the truth. I was living out an emotionally frenzied life with constant fear. And the first step to healing was to remove myself from the person who continued to traumatize me and set a boundary to remain free from that abuse until he showed that he was trustworthy and emotionally safe. So even though I've set this boundary many times, my ex-husband has come quickly back into my center, especially when he sends texts blaming me for the breakup of the marriage or blaming me for his decision to divorce. That has been really difficult. And that's when the trauma really hits. For me, it feels like anxiety. It feels like fear. It feels like pain and sorrow and sadness. Sometimes it gets so intense. There have been times where it was so intense that I felt like I could die. And there have been times when I've been laying in bed and just screaming and yelling. Just, I can't describe the intensity of the pain, but I'm sure that you, as my listeners, can imagine. So I assume that many of you have been where I have been. There have been times where I just fell down on the ground and I cried and I cried and I cried. And it was so painful. I learned through this that I'm good at accepting the pain and just feeling it. I do that quite often when the pain gets really intense. I just sit and feel the pain. And sometimes I choose to do unhealthy behaviors, like shopping for things I can't afford or trying to fix things or compulsively doing projects. I recently had to increase my boundary because my ex wrote some extremely abusive and triggering emails. And after my dad read the emails, he insisted that I block his number and emails and have my ex only communicate through my dad to me about our children. And since then, the constant fear has subsided a bit. I set these boundaries based on love and safety and respect for myself and for my ex-husband. My boundary of no contact enables me to connect with God and put God in my center. So with consistent effort and time and the grace of God, I think I'm starting to heal. I'm starting to choose a healthy lifestyle. It's hard. I'm still having trouble eating well and exercising, and I'm still having trouble sleeping. One healthy thing that I have done in the past, not right now because of the snow, but is yard work. That's been really healing for me. And I also always reach out to friends and my sponsor. Last spring, I had a major slip where I went and bought topiaries I couldn't afford, especially with the divorce. So I had to return them, and it was really embarrassing. I felt humiliated by my actions and my compulsive behaviors. And when I'm in trauma, that trauma response is just a way to get out of the pain. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. Why am I doing this? And I just kept going forward with it. But when I'm connected with God and God is in my center, I feel much more at peace and much more calm and less prone to those compulsive behaviors to keep me out of the pain. So like I said before, a lot of people isolate. I did the opposite. I started speaking publicly. And I really regret that now, because I put my family in danger, and I also didn't know I was being a hypocrite because I didn't understand that my husband was not in recovery and he wasn't doing recovery behaviors. And now that's really humiliating and embarrassing, and I feel like I didn't know anything. And frankly, I'm still at that stage of not knowing anything. So this podcast is more about just sharing my experience with you of where I'm at now. Right this very second, not that I've arrived or that I'm going anywhere, but I'm just still living with the trauma and working through it every day, trying to have God at my center and do God's will. I'm grateful that you're listening to my journey, so I know I'm not alone. You know, it's interesting, even now with the advantage of 15 months of hindsight looking back, I still can't figure out what happened. I suspect that my husband lied to me many times. I still deal with the anxiety and fear and sadness and heartache and stress of the betrayal every day, not to mention the difficulty of being a single mom with three small children. With the betrayal comes worries about the future, worries about money, worries about what will happen, and it's extremely stressful. And I entered recovery because I desperately want to feel peace again. I want to feel safe in my own life, and I'm working it every day, grateful for my support group, my sponsor, and my therapist. If you would like to attend free betrayal trauma recovery meetings, go to btr.org and click on free recovery meetings. They are online and in person, so you can attend anywhere in the world. And as you attend your meeting, you will also have the opportunity to find a sponsor. That is someone who will help you for free as you work the steps. Online coaching is available through our website with women specifically trained to guide you through this process. To see our coaches, go to btr.org/coaching. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not sure if I answered the question, what is betrayal trauma? But I hope through talking about this that you've recognized some of the ways that betrayal trauma affects you and that you can find the help that you need. Keep coming back. It works when I work it, and I am worth it.